Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded today for June 26, 2022. And we're going to kind of continue in my little thing on mental illness and love. Yeah, nothing makes us crazier than love. I think Will Smith looked at that in his life a little bit here at the Academy Awards and the slap, as it's called. But I wonder if it slapped him. I wonder if he really woke up and could see what was going on. Nonetheless, less than none. That took mental illness. And what we saw there was a blatant mental illness. And we see it in people's lives. We see it in their driving. I did a commentary on love, and it was entitled To Be Loved or To Be Love. And the two are not the same. And I got a few, shall we say, rebuttals on it from various people. I will share it with you here in a moment. But I want to go back to the Will Smith thing, and I want to talk about love and the whole thing. Nothing shows our mental illness more, our mental sickness, our emotional sickness that makes for our mental illness more than does the idea of love. What is love? And how do we define it for ourselves and perpetuate it in the course of our lifetime? That's something we all have to look at one way or another. It's generally not looked at. It is looked at, this is my love, this is the way it is, take it or leave it kind of thing. And we don't really get involved in the practice of self-examination to understand the state of our love and what we purport on other people. The most loving thing you can do with another person, as far as love is concerned, is ask yourself, what do I put them through in order for me to love them? What do you put the person through that you say you love? Now, generally speaking, we put them through the course of our humanity, our human self, our ego, our pride, our vanity. We put them through so many aspects of the human, and we allow that to be the sum and substance of our life. This is the way I love, take it or leave it, or this is the way I love, you should bow to it, blah, 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 all that. This is all mental illness, one way or another. So let's dive into the questions real quick here. The first one comes from Linda. She writes me from Los Angeles. She often writes me. I read your commentary, and I want to say I need to be loved more than I want to be loved. And then she goes into the idea that she can't correlate the difference between the two. Her idea is, if I'm being loved, then I will be loved. And this is an assumption of mental illness. This is typical. Just because you think someone loves you doesn't make you love. It may make you the aspiration of their life, or the, shall we say, the chemical explosion that happens in our bodies with all of the hormones that run around in our body and brain, and we start to realize that the only thing we really have is the emotions that our body produces that makes us think we're in love. These chemicals in our body, and if you read Robert Sapolsky's work on Behave, you will understand more. I could get into more detail, but I'm not going to do that because it just goes in one ear and out the other, and it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you understand what I'm talking about here, why it is so deeply, deeply important for all of us to understand the nature of our body. and what it is purporting at any different time in our life. In your youth, there's more testosterone and more estrogen. As you grow older, it gets very strong, and then it starts to dwindle, and you start to look at the people you loved, and they don't look the same. They're just not the same people we, quote, end quote, married. And that would be true because their bodies have changed. Now listen to me and try to understand. If you base your whole life, Linda, your whole life on the idea of being loved, if you based your whole life on the emotions of your body, the chemicals that create those emotions, you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life because it turns on us, all of us. What you were 20 years ago isn't what you are today. What decisions you might have made 30 years ago are not the decisions you might make now. And when it is push and pull and it comes to that idea of am I right, am I wrong, am I good, am I bad, am I loved, am I not loved, all of these things come from the idea of my human emotions. Now, what do I do with them? That's the key. If I live them, if I am impulsed to live them, if I live them from the platitude and the longitude of desire, ambition, and pride, then I'm going to make my spiritual practice very, very difficult. And I mean very difficult. In fact, most people try to wrap a spiritual practice around their emotionality and their thinking. And it's futile. It's absolutely futile. And people don't want to admit that it's futile. Therefore, they go along in their life living in the great majesty of the ego, the emperor of all malice, which is my human emotions. And I have this up and down lifestyle and life that has nothing to do with the substance, the meaning, or the significance of the authentic heart. And to miss life, to miss living from the authentic heart, to miss being of service to humankind from the authentic heart is a tragedy, just a great tragedy. When people tell me they love me, I often think of Gregory 20, 30 years ago. What did that mean then? What does it mean now? What does it mean when I say I love you? Well, if it means what it was 20 or 30 years ago, 40 years ago in my case, then it's worthless. If your love and my love, if our love has not matured and ripened beyond the physical body, beyond the sensations of my ego, my vanity, my pride, if I haven't gone past that, then I have not lived well in the years that I have lived. And we saw that with Will Smith. He doesn't live well. He lives out of his body, from his body, made a living doing that. That's what he did and does. His work on Muhammad Ali was spectacular. And when I watch that movie, even now, and I do watch it, I am amazed at his physical fitness, his prowess, his biological prowess, his mental prowess to talk and act like Muhammad Ali did. I had a brief time in my life where I was with this man, Muhammad Ali, and I can tell you, Will Smith was spot on. He should have won the Academy Award then, in my opinion. But nonetheless, unless the none, you start to look at the way people live and live their lives from the chemicals that live in their body, and they miss. They can't function in a spiritual practice, an authentic one. You can make one up. You can have a philosophy. You can have a religious belief, but that doesn't mean you're in an authentic practice. We live appeasing our human ego, our human body, through the confines of thinking that we can manipulate our emotionality and make it look normal, or sane. And it is in the passions and the emotional state of my mind that all of my mischief and evil does prevail. And until I am willing to step out of my body, as it were, to live in it, but not from it, as Jesus said, to live in the world, but not let the world live in you, nothing is going to change. Thank you, Linda, for your kind comments about the commentary, too. I deeply appreciate it, and please forgive me. Namaste. The next question is from Ralph. Now, Ralph, he's one of my favorites. I do work with Ralph every week, and I have for 100 million years. And I like Ralph a lot. He is, he wouldn't mind me telling you, he's very, very wealthy. And he lives in Pebble Beach, and he is a handful, and his life is a handful. And he says, he always has problems with love. He says, I think love is an opinion. What do you think, Ralph? I love Ralph. I agree, Ralph. I think for most people, love is an opinion. It is something they derive out of their need and their want, out of their emotionality. It's something that they have made up in their minds and have come to believe in as true. They need this ideal of love to get by in this life. And you would know better than anyone I know what that's all about, because you've been through it so many times. So the question is, what is the meaning of your life? What is the meaning of love? What is the meaning that you put towards the concept of love? Love is an impulse to most people. You know, they just love it. I see things, you know, dogs and things that they do, and I just love them. I have affection for all sorts of animals, therefore I don't eat them, and I find that to be rather interesting inside my body, inside my brain, and how that functions and the way it functions. What is love? For most people, it is an opinion. It is a matter of chemistry. It is a matter of mental insanity. Things, you know, Will Smith says, love makes you do crazy things. Well, that isn't love. You know, what he did was not love, but to him, it was. Blah, blah, blah. We can go into it and the psychology of it, which I won't do right now. I don't have time. But let me just say this. What is love? It is a presence. It is a presence that lives within us all. And this presence that is love brings about insight, compassion, forgiveness. It is about an awareness that occurs. So if I'm going to really be in love, if I'm going to be love, I have to, Ralph, go beyond my ego, my passions, my impulses. I have to explore what is just beyond all of that to the state of my heart, the presence of my heart. People will say, I don't understand why I'm pursuing this spiritual practice with me. They'll say that to me. And it's because something is pursuing you. A presence that lives within you won't let you go. Now, I'm going to say this publicly, but I am sure it's going to cause a little controversy. If you do one thing in your life that is beyond the confines of your passions, your desires, your ambitions, you do one authentically kind act of generosity and mercy, you will find that love will chase you for the rest of your life. Just one. If you do that, love has you. And I have students who have done that thing, that very kind thing, and they find now that love pursues them. And it is marvelous, though they don't understand it. And they don't have to. They really don't. If they just let love live them. Thank you for your question, Ralph, and I'll see you in session tomorrow morning. And thank you all for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.